We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ready, down, put.
This is the Bear Report Podcast with Zach Pearson, and Aaron Lemming, providing extensive coverage of the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears!
Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Pearson and Aaron Lemming.
And now joining us here on the Bear Report Podcast is Tyler Dunn of Go Long and the Go Long Podcast, as also as part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. He's going to join us to talk a little bit about the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago Bears, and other stuff in between. But Tyler, thank you so much for joining us today, man.
Hey, the pleasure's all here. Thanks so much for having me on, fellas.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a couple things we want to talk to you about. And, the first one, obviously, is the story you wrote earlier in the month about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And it kind of, caught all of our attention because, we have rooting interest for the Bears and the Packers, obviously the Bears' rival, but what's going on in Green Bay is just fascinating for a couple of reasons. And one of the reasons I keep going to is because I feel like Green Bay has not been in like a quarterback hell at all. And here in Chicago, we've just been in quarterback hell for my entire life. So about 30 years, but writing this story, I mean, what kind of intrigued you the most about what's going on up there in Green Bay?
Whew. Man, that's a loaded question, because I think we're all trying to figure that out. I it would be really nice if Aaron Rodgers would just talk, right? Just tell everybody, why are you so upset? Brett Favre at least did it. He sat down with Greta Van Susteren on Fox News back in 2008 and was like, just kind of put the Packers on blast. Everybody kind of knew where he stood, and he wanted back in. Aaron Rodgers wants out. I think that's probably what's most fascinating here is, everything is pretty damn good in Green Bay. They're willing to make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. They have arguably the most talented roster in the NFL. It's such a myth that they don't surround him with weapons. He's got weapons all over the place. Play calling. He's the play caller. I mean, there's two playbooks in Green Bay. There's Matt LaFleur's and there's Aaron Rodgers at the line of scrimmage. He has the freedom and the autonomy to kind of do whatever he wants. So it's kind of like strange from the outside looking in to be like, why are you so worried about Jordan Love? Like, you just won MVP. As long as you play anywhere near MVP level, you are the quarterback. You can force Brian Gutekunst, who you apparently despise, to trade Jordan Love as long as you play well. So it's strange. I guess it is kind of on brand though for him. He's been pretty passive aggressive, most of his career. He'll go out there in Hawaii and the Taylor Swift videos will pop up and he'll go on Jeopardy. We all kind of saw that. I'll try to use that as a little leverage. He'll pop on Kenny Mayne and he'll wear that I'm offended shirt after Mark Murphy's comments. So he's doing these little things. I guess it comes down to two things, right? He's either just trolling his employer and he shows up and calls all of us in the media fake news and says it was one big smear campaign. Screw them. I'm back. Let's go. Because he apparently does love his teammates and they love him. Or he's genuinely dug in and this doesn't really have a resolution anytime soon. Even though I am somebody who he did attack in a smear campaign once upon a time. I know he can do that, even when things are absolutely true. I think it's the latter. I think he is genuinely dug in and can't get past the fact that they drafted Jordan Love, can't get past whatever he's upset about with it being about the people and them going too corporate. Everything I've been told is that this is very, very real, and we should not hold our breath from the show up day one of training camp.
Well, and I think it's been kind of interesting to see, because you and Rob Dombowski, why I always have
Dombowski.
Dombowski, yeah. There we go. Have been both very open in saying that you guys don't think he's coming back. And if you kind of go back and you look at Aaron Rodgers as a whole throughout his career and just who he has his convictions. I mean, that's something we've talked about on the podcast multiple times. I mean, it's not taking a shot, you know, to say, you know, the stuff with his family and the different stuff that has gone on over the years. Like, Aaron Rodgers is his own person. That's who he is. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just who it is. So it's kind of one of those situations where I know a lot of people like to compare it to other situations and other players, but I feel like Aaron Rodgers is just a very different person from most people. But I am kind of curious, just what exactly makes you feel like this is just more than a, you know, a publicity stunt, or this is just more than him basically showing up and calling everybody's bluff or whatever it may be? And why do you think that Aaron Rodgers really is probably done in Green Bay, or it's trending that way?
People connected to the situation have just repeated that again and again and again. And I would think that Dombowski and myself, we probably have much different sources, and we're all kind of hearing the same thing. It's that it's very real, and he is very, very upset about something. I mean, he's not going to come out and say it was the Jordan Love pick, but that's absolutely what it is. I mean, he felt like he should be in total control, and there is a case to be made for that somebody that is Aaron Rodgers, a future Hall of Famer at the top of his game, still deserves to go out on his terms, but that just doesn't happen. I mean, it's always ugly for all of these guys at the end. And this is just how the Green Bay Packers do business. I think, you know, way back to the early 90s, when Ron Wolf kind of resurrected this thing, he made tough decisions. I mean, he traded a first round pick for Brett Favre. Everybody called him nuts. And then Ted Thompson takes over for Mike Sherman in between. He rolls with Aaron Rodgers. Like, when Brett Favre wanted back in, and nobody in Green Bay wanted him to do that, he made that tough decision, which is kind of ironic. I mean, if anybody should understand it, it's Aaron Rodgers. And then you fast forward to today, and I get it. They were 13-3 in 2019, but there were signs. I mean, that Detroit game in week 17 was pretty ugly. He was really inaccurate. They get blown out in the NFC Championship game. Rodgers doesn't play well. And oh, by the way, in the second half, I was told, he told his head coach, hey, I'm just going to take over play calling here. So I'm sure there were a lot of little things. And Brian Gutekunst, as the general manager, is looking at this and said, well, you know what? We're always picking in the 20s. I don't want to get caught in that purgatory. I believe in Jordan Love's arm. I believe in his athleticism. He's got a shot to be special. I'll take him, develop him for a couple of years. Aaron Rodgers, who's been suffering, he has suffered some serious injuries as well, on top of getting older, on top of all those little signs. It makes a lot of sense. There is a lot of logic. The pick, I think, was sound for a franchise like Green Bay that it isn't going to get a shot at a top five quarterback to pick Jordan Love. But I just think that Aaron Rodgers cannot get past that. He can't get past it. He's stubborn, like you said, Aaron. It's absolutely fair game to say, if this is somebody that will cut out his family, cut out his friends, what makes you think he's going to cut out Brian Gutekunst and just show up and work for the man? Like, I don't think he is. I think that this is very real, and I don't know how it ends, guys, but I don't think he's there at training camp. I don't think he's there week one. I think he is A-okay just sitting out, letting this thing play out, losing millions of dollars, because he's got millions upon millions of dollars.
That's incredible. I never thought we'd be in this situation with Aaron Rodgers just terrorizing the Bears year after year. And now it's come to this. And you mentioned, you know, he wants total control. And the whole thing, the rumor kind of circulating around us, is the Jordan Love pick and all of that. Do you think things would be a lot different if the Packers, you know, came up to him and said, hey, we're going to target Jordan Love? Or do you think it would have been the exact same? He just did not want them to take a quarterback.
I love that question. I love that talking point, because, right, that's what you hear on ESPN. Everybody's so caught up in their feelings today. It kind of drives me insane. But, like, And he is a quarterback that is very caught up in his feelings, but I get it. We're going to have that debate. Oh, they should have done this. They should have done that. If he just would have held his hand and brought him in to the draft room and said, all right, buddy, we're going to do this. Here's a glass of scotch. No, it doesn't change a thing. If they draft Jordan Love, he's as pissed off today as he would have been anyways. I can't see how, you know, giving him a heads up would help the situation. And judging by how he has tried to work the narrative this offseason and, you know, using his surrogates and teammates and friends. Hell, who knows? I mean, this is me talking, just guessing, but does he try to sabotage that pick if you give him a heads up ahead of time? I don't know. He's a different dude. So I think Green Bay is just old school. The GM picks the players, the coaches coach the players play, and Aaron Rodgers absolutely despises that model.
Well, and, you know, the kind of wrap up, at least, you know, with the Aaron Rodgers stuff here, what do you think? Because that's the thing is I've been kind of running this through in my head over and over, and it feels like we're on the same page, at least in terms of Aaron Rodgers is who he is. This isn't a guy that's just going to randomly cave and randomly show up and act like nothing happened, or at least that's, you know, what I seem to think. But what can fix the situation? That is what I've been struggling with the most. It's one of those things where you can see him sitting out. You can see the Packers finally caving in, whether it's in preseason, the regular season, and trading him. What I can't see is how this resolves itself to where Aaron Rodgers comes back and plays this year. Because I think we all kind of assume at this point, even if he does somehow magically come back and play this year, this is probably his last year in Green Bay. I think everybody would have to assume at this point. So how do you fix this if that is part of the problem as is?
I think Green Bay's hope is that he loves his teammates so much. I mean, I don't think him and Matt LaFleur have as hunky-dory of a relationship as everybody thinks. I think that he more so tolerates his head coach, is what one player told me. But I think he likes his coaches, especially Nathaniel Hackett, the OC. They're really, really tight. I think he likes the fans. I mean, he cares deeply about his legacy. He knows what it means to go down in history. In the history of the Green Bay Packers and all of that. But I don't know. I guess the Packers are banking on that. I just don't think it's going to matter much. And I don't really think there's anything they can do. I mean, short of firing the general manager, what resolution is there? I mean, they're willing to pay him more than any quarterback. I think maybe one resolution could be that they lock him in for 3 years. And there's no wiggle room for them to get out of that contract for 3 years. Maybe that's it. But Gutekunst isn't going to do that. Like, he isn't going to admit defeat on Jordan Love this soon, nor should he. So that's not going to happen. Man, I don't know. That's what makes this so fascinating. They're at this stalemate. Nobody's really budging. Nobody's blinking. You got the president calling him a complicated fella, quoting Ted Thompson. You've got the quarterback wearing the I'm offended shirt and saying how amazing it's been to have zero responsibilities this offseason. I just don't think it's going to end anytime soon. And if I'm the Green Bay Packers, and this is what I wrote at Go Long, I mean, why not be decisive here? Why not just go on the offensive and look in the mirror and realize what you're dealing with? Like, this is a quarterback who has a personality unlike any other. He is serious. This is not a joke. He is not bluffing. He's willing to sit out games. Are you really, really willing to let this ride out? Are you really willing to let this go into the season? Just trade him. You know, Denver and Vegas for sure, maybe even Miami, I think, will give you basically whatever you want. His value is as high as it's ever going to be. I know the timing's odd, but take your two or three firsts, your two or three seconds, your two or three starters, and move on. Have some dignity as a franchise instead of fawning over him and begging and pleading him to come back. Because at some point, the players are going to see all that and be like, what the hell? What the hell are we doing here? Do we have a team? Do we have a season? Or are we just begging the quarterback to come back? That point could come eventually.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
switching over to the Bears here, you had some tidbits in this offseason that kind of caught a lot of Bears fans' attention. And, you know, the Bears were rumored in for Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. How close, and when you say, you know, a package that, you know, maybe wasn't, you know, as good as other teams could make, how close and what type of package were we looking at here if the Bears were to make a move for Deshaun Watson before, you know, kind of everything came out and even Russell Wilson?
Yeah, it starts there with Deshaun Watson for sure. You know, this is pre-allegations and all of that, which obviously changed the plans of a lot of teams, including Chicago. I think they would have given up anything, really. I mean, short of Khalil Mack, I think that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, they know that their asses are on the line and they're willing to do whatever it takes to find a franchise quarterback. And that's why I kind of pursued that story and tried to talk to as many people as I could, because you've got this offseason of quarterback empowerment and these quarterbacks trying to manifest their own destinies. You've got a team in desperation mode. Everybody kind of lucky to keep their jobs and realizing that and doing everything to find a quarterback. How is that going to play out? It started with Watson. I don't know what offers were really on the table, if anything, because Houston, I mean, they weren't listening. They weren't even engaging with teams. But what I was told is, yeah, they really, really wanted Deshaun Watson early on. It started there.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you say that, because I feel like a lot of Bears fans obviously knew the pursuit of Carson Wentz and, you know, then obviously Russell Wilson. Another one that I thought was kind of interesting that, you know, I had in my notes here that you would mention as well was Ben Roethlisberger. What, why? That's the one where I'm like, you know, Carson Wentz is like, okay, the guy's still somewhat young. You know, he's maybe some untapped potential. Maybe you can get him back to that, you know, the 2017, 2018 type situation. But then, you know, you look at a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, which, I mean, if you're talking about Deshaun Watson with some of his allegations, I mean, the whole Roethlisberger thing has been out there for quite a while. And obviously that was a while ago, but why Roethlisberger? That doesn't seem, and obviously not doubting your sources at all, but that just doesn't seem like the type of character move that the Bears would make, and especially in the situation that they're at.
Trust me, my eyebrows raised too. I mean, that was a name I didn't see coming. I think more than anything, Ryan Pace was willing to just literally explore every opportunity, every possibility, every quarterback who could become available. And if you remember Pittsburgh, they kind of let that whole thing drag on a little bit. They didn't commit to Ben Roethlisberger right away. It was got a little dicey there for a little bit. And they basically did the opposite of what Brian Gutekunst and Green Bay want to do. They're going to let Roethlisberger play out the string, apparently, at least this season when they could have moved on. It was somebody fairly close, very close to that whole dynamic. And he basically said that if Ben Roethlisberger didn't stick around with Pittsburgh, that Chicago would have been in play there. So I guess you take it for what it's worth. I think that all these teams that need a quarterback would be stupid to not explore everything. And I don't know for a fact that they just called up the Packers and said, hey, is Aaron Rodgers available? I think the way I wrote it and what I heard was like that, even that would have been a possibility. Even something as crazy as that, where of course Green Bay is never going to trade the Aaron Rodgers, they would at least consider it because they were considering everything.
And you talked about it being kind of a wild offseason in terms of quarterbacks, and the Bears actually ended up with one of my top quarterbacks in the draft in Justin Fields. How the heck did that all happen? And were you surprised that Fields, you know, was there at 11 and the Bears actually moved up? And kind of what are your thoughts on the Fields pick overall?
No doubt. And I guess I kind of skimmed past the quarterback that Chicago really thought it'd get. And that was Russell Wilson. So real quick, I mean, they thought that Seattle was willing to part with him. John Schneider, from what I was told, is done with Russell Wilson. Like he was ready to move on, ready to start over. It's kind of fed up with different things behind the scenes. And Pete Carroll wasn't willing to go there. Pete Carroll's the oldest head coach in the National Football League. Doesn't want that on his resume as, you know, being the guy who traded Russell Wilson, as I'm sure everybody in Green Bay, they don't want that on their resume. There's something there. And so they all figured, all right, let's just sing kumbaya, go for it one more year. Russell Wilson doesn't want to hurt his brand and take it to the extreme Aaron Rodgers is. So that trade never happens. But the Bears side of things, I think they were really optimistic something would happen there, and it didn't. And they were pretty surprised that it didn't. So yeah, to fast forward, it's like, okay, well, you swung and missed on all these big names. It didn't happen. They settle with Andy Dalton and put out the tweet QB1. And I think we all kind of laughed at it. You know, Andy Dalton is Andy Dalton. He's not terrible, but you know, he's not necessarily going to win you a Super Bowl. But I think there was maybe just a silver lining in it all, where bringing him in could at least help you on draft day move up. Because if you're going in a draft day with Nick Foles, who couldn't really get the ball past the 50-yard line most of the season, I mean, teams are going to take you to the woodshed. And they're going to say, oh, you want to move up to this pick? Well, here's what we want. And you basically have to give them whatever they say, because God knows you're not going into the season with Nick Foles as your starter. So I think Dalton really did help them on draft day move up and to get Justin Fields without, I mean, they gave up a lot, obviously, but not what it could have been. And Chicago absolutely knew they had to move up and get somebody there. So it worked out in the end. Maybe that was the best case scenario. You bring in a dude who, I mean, hell, maybe he should have been the second overall pick. Maybe he should have been the first overall pick. I don't know. I'm not a scout. I'm not a mock drafter. I just watched Ohio State games. He did everything. He was unbelievable. I mean, that Clemson game, when he gets a snot beat out of him like that, to come back and throw six touchdowns, I mean, I'd want to go into war with him any day. So I think Chicago made out really, really well through the quarterback craziness.
Well, and before we move on to the Eric Kramer thing, which I got a question there, I'm just kind of curious from what you had heard, because there was something that's kind of been floating around, and it floated around about the time that Seattle finally shot this down and said no, but it sounded like the Bears and Seattle have actually agreed to a deal, and Pete Carroll was the one that ultimately nixed it and said, yeah, this isn't happening. And then from there, the Bears basically had a transition on to Andy Dalton. Did you hear anything similar to that? Because like I said, that's kind of what's been floating around lately.
I couldn't lock in exactly what that deal was and how close it was to going through. All I know is that Chicago was really optimistic they would get Russell Wilson, because yes, the GM out there in Seattle, he was willing to move on. He was willing to trade Russell Wilson. The head coach, who he was there before Snyder, I believe, he's got maybe a little bit more power. That's an interesting dynamic. He nixed it. He didn't want to go that far. Everybody stays in Seattle. That absolutely is the case. And it definitely surprised Chicago, because I think short of Cleo Mack, they probably would have parted with pretty much whatever Seattle wanted to get him in there. And Russell Wilson wanted to be in Chicago.
Yeah, that would have been, I think for a lot of Bears fans, that would have probably been the number one thing. I kind of look at it, and obviously we have to see how Justin Fields pans out, because obviously if he's not good, then yeah, it didn't work out for them. But, you know, where the Bears roster's at least in my opinion, and where their cap situation's at this year and kind of next year, it's like adding Russell Wilson is great, and he's a great quarterback. But when you don't have all the pieces around, it, you know, it doesn't really make a ton of difference. But
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Kind of moving on to our last little thing that we wanted to talk about with you was the Eric Kramer story. And man, That was tough. That was a tough read, you know, for people who've kind of, you know, followed me over the years on Twitter and you know, stuff like that. It's like, you know, I think a lot of us have battled with some level of depression over your life, you know, and and to read just what you had to say. And that's the thing that I love about everything that you've ever done, even with Bleacher Report, is you're such a fantastic storyteller. It's like you can sit there and it may be a 20, 25 minute article, but you can just sit there and enjoy it regardless of what the story is and really feel like somehow you just watched a movie, like you were a part of the story. But I'm just kind of curious, how did this all come about? I mean, how did you kind of get into this with Eric Kramer? How did he open up? Like, how did this whole thing come about? I mean, this is we've heard stories, but we haven't heard this story, if that makes any sense.
Man, I really appreciate that, Aaron. Thanks for saying that. I think it started back when I launched Go Long. It was late November, and I just kind of went through my phone and was reaching out to anybody I could, you know, just to check in. I don't really know where there's a story, where there isn't a story. And I had talked to Eric Kramer back when I covered the Packers at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I want to say it might've been the first year I was on the beat, like 2011. I don't know. Maybe the story was about the pain threshold for quarterbacks in football, because the year before, remember Jay Cutler in the NFC Championship game, that was kind of a debate. And I think I was, I don't know, maybe using that as a hook into a Packers Bears rematch story or something, but I just remember having a great conversation with him back then. I mean, that was almost a decade ago, and we're texting and he remembered it. I couldn't believe he remembered us talking, and he said, hey, you know, actually your timing is really, really good because I have a lot to say. I had no idea. I shouldn't chuckle because it's not a funny matter, but man, I had no idea what he had been through since the suicide attempt, which, you know, there were some phenomenal stories written about that. Dave Burkett, Dan Pompey did one at Bleacher Report when he was my coworker, just unbelievably open about his depression and trying to take his own life. But I think back then when we're reading these stories and we're watching that piece at Outside the Lines, we're thinking that this dude is in the clear, like it's all good now. He sounded good. I mean, and said there were no mental issues, physical issues. And you know, I thought that it was kind of case closed. I was more so reaching out just to maybe talk football. And lo and behold, the real story there is everything that's happened since then. And in his words, $700,000 being stolen from him through the sham marriage to Courtney Baird, through the legal system. And I mean, there's obviously a lot of layers to this, and it was difficult to unpack. But we talked on a Zoom, months ago for, I don't know, two and a half hours. Then last week we talked for another hour and a half. Today we actually caught up for the hell of it on the phone for another hour. He's just a phenomenal storyteller with a phenomenal memory now, because 5 years since that suicide attempt, his brain is back. I mean, he's back to being himself, and he can kind of pinpoint and recall everything. And it's sad for so many reasons. It's definitely a dark, sad story. I mean, I get it, but I think that the takeaway here is he was able to get to the other side. Like, he's good now, and he wants to help future, not just football players, anybody who could be abused by anybody financially by the legal system, because he knows and he can live to tell about it.
It's a great story, and I recommend everyone go check it out. And Kramer, for me, he's one of the more underappreciated Bears quarterbacks of all time. And you might have answered this in the last question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Was there kind of a moment that stood out to you when you're talking to him, maybe something you didn't know, something maybe kind of made you go, oh, wow, or anything he shared like that?
Man, there's definitely a lot of those moments, because it just gets worse and worse and worse, you know, after the worst possible thing could happen to you. I mean, putting a gun to your chin and then survive. It only got worse from that point, from, you know, this woman coming back into his life. And this is obviously all Kramer's side of the story. I reached out to her representation. They didn't want to talk, but I mean, for somebody to diabolically take advantage of you when you're in this mental state, as Eric said, you know, he had the brain of a six-year-old. If anybody just said anything to him, it was yes. You know, he just would agree to whatever you said, and he couldn't really process risk to any degree. For somebody to take advantage of that to this extreme, from, you know, getting close to him and flying out to the Vegas facility to drive him back, and just showing up at his house and then staying over at his house, and then realizing that there's this criminal investigation into her spending and to her abuse of his money, and then coercing him into a marriage because that would put the criminal investigation to rest. She was constantly one or two steps ahead the entire way. You just feel for Eric Kramer. It's like, and he didn't know, to answer your question, I guess what stood out most was he didn't know any of this was going on. So, you know, his friends, his family, Anna Durgan, who's just the real superhero in this all, a high school friend of his, they're fighting for him this whole time because Eric Kramer doesn't know. And there were points when he thought that Anna was against him and his own son and his sister. And he thought all these people were against him when they were trying to help him. It's unbelievable. And thank God his brain, for the lack of a better term, just turned on and he came out of that metaphorical coma, because if he didn't, who knows? He's still losing money and he's still not knowing why and what's happening around him. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out in the real world that's the case. And that's the scary part about conservatorship, that you need people in your life that you trust that can look after your finances and look after your well-being.
Well, I think we've, to a certain extent at least, we've kind of seen similar go on with the Britney Spears saga, where you think you can trust somebody, even as close as a spouse or, you know, a family member, your parent, and, you know, here you are in a very, very different situation. And I don't know if Zach has anything else for you, but honestly, man, you know, the one thing I want to say is just, you know, for anybody listening to the podcast, again, go long. I mean, subscribe to it. It's an awesome thing. If you're looking for a little taste as to exactly what Tyler offers here, I mean, he's been fantastic. Like I said, he's been on the Bleacher Report. I've read a lot of his stuff in the past, but he does have that Eric Kramer article right now where it's open, where you can go, and there's three different parts to this thing, and go and read it and really get an idea of what you're subscribing to, because it's absolutely fantastic stuff. And, you know, like I said, I really appreciate it. I don't know if Zach has anything else for you, but you also got the podcast. You had Olin Krutz on. I mean, who doesn't love Olin Krutz?
Oh man, he's the best, isn't he? I mean, thanks so much for saying that, Aaron. He was great. I mean, what a storyteller.
Yeah, Olin's a great guy. He's always on the radio here in Chicago, and he just has not only fantastic stories, but his analysis of things really makes you like get you into that football side of things. And it's fantastic. I don't have any other questions. I was going to say, if you want to plug anything, feel free. Anything you want to shout out or showcase or anything like that.
Absolutely. I mean, that was, I should put you guys on the payroll. That was good enough. So thank you so much for support and subscribing and reading. And, you know, in addition to the features and the profiles, something cool that I try to do here are those happy hours every Friday. So, you know, the Olin Krutz happy hour I made as an episode on our podcast. So if you go to the podcast, you can download it and get a sense for what we do every Friday night just for subscribers, where, you know, you have a chance to throw back some beers with current players, former players. I mean, we've had Richie Incognito on, which wasn't able to share that one because it got a little crazy, as you can expect. It was a wild, wild ride with Richie. Andy Janovich, Vince Williams, Allen Robinson, Steve Tasker, Ryan Leaf. We've had a lot of guys on. Peter King came on a couple weeks ago. Frank Winters this past week. So I just think that's a good opportunity for fans to kind of hang out with, you know, some of their favorite players from around the league. Actually, I only had Olin Krutz on because a Bears fan, Chad Vonk, I believe, on Twitter, he subscribed and said, hey, any chance you could get Olin on? He's awesome on the radio out here. And so Olin did it right away and it was great. So I want it to be a community, and, you know, tell me who you want to hang out with and we'll make it happen.
It's fantastic. It's a great idea too. I really haven't seen much like it on the internet, especially in the NFL world, where you get that insight from, you know, former players or even beat writers like Pete King as well. So it's just fantastic.
Oh man. Thank you so much for saying that. And it's a lot of fun, man. I wake up every day just so jacked up for Go Long, and the readers, the fans, everybody's been phenomenal. It's been great to see a lot of Bears fans kind of join the community. So thank you to everybody out there.
No problem. Where can everyone follow you on Twitter at, Tyler?
Yep, just at Ty Dunn, D-U-N-N-E.
Perfect. Really appreciate you having you on, man. We'll have to do it again sometime soon.
Hey, just say the word. This is a lot of fun. Appreciate you guys.